Hello, and welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans. I'm David Bailey, and over the past nearly 12 years, this podcast has taken on many forms, from interviews and audio diaries to cultural snapshots and expat reflections. You might notice some different podcast names mentioned along the way, but it's all part of the same journey, one that explores life, people, and stories from this fascinating region I now call home. If you're enjoying the listen, I'd love it if you left a quick review or rating wherever you get your podcasts. It really helps others discover the show. And if something in the episode sparks your interest or curiosity, why not drop me a message? I always enjoy hearing from listeners. I always reply.
You're listening to An Englishman in the Balkans.
Welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans podcast with me, David Pacinovic Bailey. In this podcast, you'll get a unique look at life in Bosnia and Herzegovina through my eyes, the eyes of an immigrant. Each episode, I share my experiences living in this often misunderstood country and introduce you to some of the interesting people I've met along the way. From exploring the rich culture and history to discussing the challenges and joys of immigrating to a new country, this podcast offers a thoughtful and engaging look at life in the Western Balkans.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you would like to support us and the production of future episodes, then please consider maybe giving us a tip or becoming a member of our podcast family. The link to do that is in the show notes for this podcast. Thanks again for listening. We really do appreciate it.
You're listening to An Englishman in the Balkans.
Welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans, the podcast that takes you on a captivating journey into the heart of Bosnia and Herzegovina and the wider Western Balkans. Each episode, we delve into the rich history, vibrant culture, and hidden gems of this beautiful country. Through engaging conversations and personal anecdotes, we aim to bridge the gap between the Balkans and the rest of the world. So sit back, relax, and get ready to be inspired, entertained, and connected.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you would like to support us and the production of future episodes, then please consider maybe giving us a tip or becoming a member of our podcast family. The link to do that is in the show notes for this podcast. Thanks again for listening. We really do appreciate it.
This is the Balkan Adventures Podcast with David and Tamara. Everyday life and experiences in the Western Balkans.
Hi, it's David and welcome to another Balkan Adventures podcast from a snowy Bosnia and Herzegovina. Over the last week, the snow, we had tons and tons of snow. It's sort of like all thawed away. And as I record this, I'm looking out of the studio window and it's just, I don't know, blanketed again in rather wet snow at the moment. So I don't know if it's going to hang around or it's going to be here for a little bit and go. Nevertheless, this podcast is all about the Balkans, and I try and catch up with people or ramble on and tell you things that I think that you might find interesting. And this week, I'm catching up with Mustafa Panjeta. Mustafa was born in Sarajevo, lives in Sarajevo, and is a tour guide. I caught up with him recently and wanted to find out more about the life of a tour guide and what is so special, in his view, about his hometown, Sarajevo.
This is the Balkan Adventures Podcast.
You live in one of the most amazing cities in the world. There are cities that people talk about, like Paris and London and New York, but Sarajevo is very unique in so far as it's in a most beautiful country and it's had such a diverse history. How difficult has it been to sort of like explain that diversity of, I don't know, from before the Ottomans came here to the activities that led to the First World War and so on. How do you prioritize what to tell people?
I mean, probably it's it would be tough to explain. I mean, everything can be explained, but for us in relates when it comes down to Sarajevo as a city, it is a capital city. It's a biggest city in Bosnia, But still, in comparison with the other European capitals, it's tiny, it's small. The only capital which is bigger, which is smaller than us, from if we talk about these ex-Yugoslav republics, is Slovenia, Ljubljana. But in a way, it's pretty small city. So when it comes down to that, it's really easy explaining and actually connecting different periods of time, history, since everything can be, walked. You can walk from, everything is actually concentrated within 300 or 400 meters there, and you can feel it. You can really sense what I was talking about. For example, you have probably the cities, let's say Istanbul or something like that, but that's a huge city. And it's probably harder to get that feeling since it's a huge city. It's not so visually so easy to you can't cope with that so easily. So in Sarajevo, while I'm talking, while I'm explaining the history, starting from medieval times, then arrival of the Ottomans, then after that, the Austro-Hungarians, then the socialist Tito, then blah, 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 blah. Everything basically, while I'm talking, that we are walking and you can see that, which would be really, let's say, hard, if not impossible, to do in other cities. Why? Because you would need to go from point A to point B, really far distances, to see different periods. Here, it's just everything is here. For example, there's one street, and we are known because of that in Sarajevo, which is dividing line. And I, every time on my tour, I emphasize that's the most important part of the tour, because that is the dividing line between the east and the west. And when I'm standing there with the guests on that line, that's a tiny street, and I point out on the east direction, and when you're looking at, towards the east, you can actually see the cobble streets, the wooden shops, the mosque, the minaret, and you have the feeling that you're in Istanbul. Then when you face yourself on the same spot, when you face yourself towards the west, you see the Austro-Hungarian architecture, just like being somewhere in Vienna. So that's what I'm saying, it's just like sudden difference. And not only that, but I always, explain that we are, I believe, the only city in the world where you can hear once a week at the same time call for prayer from the mosque, bells from Catholic Church, and bells from Orthodox Christian Church.
Yeah, I was in Sarajevo back in November of last year, and it was on a Sunday morning. And they said, now you've got to go open the window and experience this. And it is. It's a very emotional experience, isn't it, to hear it all?
Yeah, it is. It is. To me, since I was born and raised there, never lived anywhere outside of Sarajevo, it's nothing special. Why? Because I get used to that. But when I started traveling a little bit outside of Bosnia, seeing some other cities, they're nice, they're beautiful, but let's say not so diverse like we are. And then I started respecting and the place I'm coming from. So it's easier now for me to see what do we have here. And it's not, for example, now these days everyone talks about multicultural life, blah, blah, multicultural this, multicultural that, that's okay. But you have more or less every city over 1 million today, they're multicultural, there's no nation which is not present there. That's okay, but you would hardly see that these nationalities, these religions, civilizations are there for ages. What I mean is that you won't see, like you will see, you would see in Sarajevo, really, or to the Christian Church from, 1539. That from the same period you see the Muslim mosque. Then you see the old Jewish synagogue. Then you see the Roman Catholic Church. And that's all old. So it's not like built today. So that's interesting from that perspective to see that actually civilizations were, different civilizations were there from way, way back.
Thank you.
Adventures podcast.
This mixture of let's call them civilizations or cultures, and it's right. You can you wherever you turn, you'll see a minaret, and then you'll see the spire of either an Orthodox or a Catholic church. But there's been a lot of influence in food as well, and I've noticed that. And within Bosnia and Herzegovina, I also know that there is, I don't know how to best describe it, but people in the north say that the Banja Luka Ćevap is best. People in Sarajevo say the Sarajevski Ćevap is best. There's so much passion about different regions and different cities that I'm just blown away with it. I've never seen people so proud of where they've come from. And in Sarajevo, that's even more so, isn't it?
It is. I don't know. I'm also a sociologist, and I always like to be objective. And so it's not, I don't like bragging or, you know, myself. But at the same time, to be honest, I can only say that you can go from visit the neighboring countries or any ex-Yugoslav republic. And usually you'll see from Slovenia to Macedonia or anywhere, Serbia, you'll see, I don't know, signs like Bosnian this, Bosnian that, Bosnian ćevapi, Bosnian pies, Bosnian commercials. Why is that so? Well, because it's, you know, it's definitely the best from Bosnia, you know. And we, okay, there, I'm just talking about the ćevapi and pies. Why? Because that's authentic from here. We have all sorts of different other stuff which is traditional, but obviously that's not our original since, I don't know, maybe 30%. Maybe 40% came from Ottomans, that means Turkish food. Then the rest you have from Hungarians, from Austro-Hungarian time, you know, and then some influence from the Slavic tribes. But I would say that what we are known for here are ćevapi and pies. And to be honest, I'm not sure which one is a bigger taboo here. And when I say taboo, I mean like that's a must. When you come here, you know, that's, for example, there's a lot of Bosnians who are living and working outside in some countries. And in the summertime, when they come back here to Bosnia to visit their families, first thing they're going to do, they'll go and have ćevapi or pie, and then they'll visit their families because it'll be really embarrassing for them to, you know, to admit their family, oh, I just went straight back to you and I haven't tried ćevapi, or, you know, it'll be like, what happened, you know, are you going wrong way now, you know, so that's how big it is, and it's really, I don't know, to us, that's what we eat, actually, you know, like pies or ćevaps.
We were talking in the car, or rather you were talking in the car when Bruce asked you about what sort of music you particularly liked, and you said, you know, what you prefer is a diverse amount of music. I was really buzzing in the back because I'm into world music and you were playing a cool world music CD. But when you go around Bosnia-Herzegovina, and especially when we even got off the bus today, the traditional music of this particular region, you have to agree, has got more Turkish influence to it than Northern Europe. Or would you disagree with that?
Not the Northern Europe. You know, I would say definitely there is a Turkish influence, but at the same time, for example, you can feel the influence of the klezmer music, you know. So that's kind of that mixture. I would say that definitely it is more Eastern than the Western, you know? And that if we talk about proper traditional music. I believe so, definitely.
Because I tell you, if you come to Sarajevo, you will certainly not only get these wonderful smells as you go past everywhere, and I don't think Mustafa, I mean, he was really trying hard, but I tell you, I don't think anybody can tell you what it's like to walk past somewhere that is cooking ćevap or cooking pie. The smells are just like magnetic. You're just dragged in, and of course the sounds as well. When you're doing your tours with people that come to Sarajevo, what impressions do they bring with them when they arrive? So, you know, when you say, what do you want to see? How do they react?
Well, basically, first day when they arrive, either in Sarajevo, Mostar, or elsewhere, they're shocked. They're really shocked, positively shocked. Because they didn't expect to see that. What did they expect? They didn't expect anything. Because unfortunately, as a country, Bosnia-Herzegovina, we don't do much of the promotion for outside. So we don't have that like a destination for tourism. So people don't know. When you say Bosnia, most of the guests who come to Bosnia, you know, they're friends. Later on, they admit that to me. You know, when they told their parents or friends, whatever, they always get the question like, why? Why are you going to Bosnia? because, you know, and to be honest, I understand them. I don't blame them, because it is really why, since why would you go to Bosnia, since what's there to see? No one knows, because there is no that image. There's.
So what you're saying is, it's a hidden gem, it's a hidden jewel.
It is, definitely. It's still, I mean, tourism is getting bigger, definitely, but it's still not mass, you know, it's not mass tourism, it's not still. So it's, I would say definitely still undiscovered. Definitely, I believe it's still undiscovered, even though it's getting bigger every year. But definitely every you know, at the end of their stay here, they all, I don't know, but I was surprised. Okay, I like my country, I'm you know, but I was surprised to hear that a lot of them, and I really mean a lot, they say at the end, and they're saying that it's definitely been one of the top five destinations they've been. And most of my guests, when I see their passports, when they're showing their stamps, and more or less they went all around the world. And that really says something to me, you know. They said to me, really, they, it's been, like, definitely it's going to be, like, one of the top five destinations they see, in the, you know. And that's, I don't know, I believe that's a big thing to me.
Pašini kavaz, što pobježe pašina robinja, što suzela dva tovara blaga, što ukrade sahat iz njedara, što odvede ata iz ahara, što povede muju haznadara.
is the Balkan Adventures podcast.
We're sat here, as I said earlier, on the Jahorina mountain, which is about 40 kilometres from...
Less 25, 30 kilometres.
Yeah, with an easy drive of the capital, Sarajevo. And you were also saying that, you know, I think the word cheap can be taken the wrong way in the English language sometimes, but there is world-class skiing facilities here at a third, if not more, off where people go skiing elsewhere in the world. Is that taking off now? Do people come here now for skiing, or is that still, again, something that you need to work on to show people this hidden gem? I mean, 1984, there was the Olympics here, right?
Yeah, definitely. And actually, we had Winter Olympics in 1984, and the only people... not the only, but I would say most of the people who remembers that is the one who used to live with us in the same country, which was called Yugoslavia. So that's the Serbs, that's the Croats, Slovenians. So most of the guests today we have on these mountains around Sarajevo are definitely them. And they are coming. So the Serbs coming from Serbia, Croats from Croatia, Slovenians who have excellent mountains for the skiing, they're also coming to Bosnia. Why? Because in comparison with their standard, it's 10 times cheaper to come here and to ski than to do it in their country. So the thing is, again, is that since we don't do any promotion, no one knows. No one knows that we have that. I never ever met a guest, you know, coming from England or anywhere, that they ever heard that we have some... I mean, like, I understand them. Probably someone did, but they don't expect that we have the mountains. They said, I didn't expect that, but I expect some plains or something like that. So they don't know that we have the mountains, you know. And basically, in relation with that, why would they think that there is a ski resorts here? And for sure, I always emphasize that we would never have a Winter Olympic Games here if it's not excellent mountains, if it's not great resorts and terrains for doing that. And what's excellent is that basically you have Jahorina mountain, you have Bjelašnica mountain, 25, 30 kilometers from Sarajevo center, which is like, what, 30 minutes from, you know, from Sarajevo. So that's how close it is. So that's I believe, is one of the key benefits of this location.
I was looking out of the window of my room. We came in and just dropped off some equipment, and I've got all my batteries charging at the moment. I was just blown away by the fact that there's so many young children in their nice coloured suits and their helmets going up this little slope. I mean, it's catering for everybody, for all ages, it seems.
Definitely. There are different mountains here. As already mentioned, there's Bjelašnica mountain, there's Jahorina. Right now we are on Jahorina, and Jahorina is perfect mountain for the beginners, for the intermediate and the advanced skiers, while Bjelašnica is only for the advanced skiers. But this one, Jahorina, has more than 20 kilometers of the skiing tracks, and it's excellent for the little kids, even the adults, actually, who never skied or snowboard, because it has excellent terrain for the beginner level.
Well, you've given up your time to talk to me. I'm blown away. I mean, I've been in the country for so many years. I've driven past and I've seen the signs to Jahorina, and to come here today, it's like, what have I been doing with my life for the last 12 years? Finally, as a tour guide, and going back to the original question about Sarajevo, what is your favorite thing, place, or story that you like to give your guests?
It's a tough question. Why? Because there is no one story. You know, this thing, what I'm doing, this tour guiding, tour leading, whatever you can call it, it's a mixture of everything. It's just finding the balance. For me, it's just finding the perfect balance. What should I give to the people who came here to perfectly explain who are we, actually? Because we are not so, you know, we are simple people, but at the same time complicated. Our humor is complicated, the food and such, so on and so on. So I always tend to find really perfect mixture of that to when giving that to the guests, and I really enjoy that. That's what I really like. When people ask me, do you have any, you know, like funny anecdotes and stories? Of course, you know, I do have millions. It's hard to remember them all, of course. You know, I, for example, recent one which I had, as already said, Sarajevo is quite small city, you know, even though it's capital, it's not big, it's not huge. So as such, it's quite simple to navigate through Sarajevo. I never had anyone get lost. One situation, you know, after one night spent in a city, next morning I asked one guest, you know, after spending the night in a pub, he went his way to hostel, I went my way. And in the morning I asked him, you know, did you have problems going back to the hostel, you know, was it easy? He said, yeah, well, actually, it wasn't, I was lost, you know. I'm like, really, you know, what do you mean lost? Because I never had anyone get lost. Yeah, I was lost. You know, I was looking for, I don't know, half an hour. I was looking at the map. I couldn't find anything on the map. And at the end, I realized it's a map of Budapest, you know. And I said, well, you know, it doesn't matter. It's the same, you know. Budapest has the river. We have the river, you know. Like, it's the same thing, you know. You could, but at the end, of course, he managed it to get back, you know, to his hostel, so...
Mustafa, thank you so much for being on this podcast. And if you're listening to this and you subscribe to the podcast, we'll be doing a lot more about Bosnia and Herzegovina. In the show notes, I'm going to put Mustafa's name, his contact email, and any other information he wants to give me. Check it out. If you want to come to Sarajevo, which I thoroughly recommend you do, and you're the sort of person that doesn't feel comfortable walking around on your own, there is a guy here that will make your life so happy and so interesting that you'll most probably be coming back. And as he said, this will become one of your top five places to visit. So that's it. Share, like, and subscribe to the podcast. I will catch you next week. From Balkan, what's the Balkan? No escape from Balkan, what's the Balkan? No escape from Balkan, what's the Balkan? No escape from
To find out more about us and where we live, why not check out our blog at anenglishmaninthebalkans.com. See you next time.
And that's a wrap for this podcast. We hope you've enjoyed finding out a little more about both Bosnia and Herzegovina and the wider Western Balkans. If you've enjoyed this journey as much as we enjoy bringing it to you, please take a moment to leave us a review and subscribe to our podcast. Your feedback helps us tremendously and makes a huge difference. Thank you once again for joining us, and we'll see you on the next episode.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you would like to support us and the production of future episodes, then please consider maybe giving us a tip or becoming a member of our podcast family. The link to do that is in the show notes for this podcast. Thanks again for listening. We really do appreciate it.
You're listening to An Englishman in the Balkans.
Welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans podcast with me, David Pacinovic Bailey. In this podcast, you'll get a unique look at life in Bosnia and Herzegovina through my eyes, the eyes of an immigrant. Each episode, I share my experiences living in this often misunderstood country and introduce you to some of the interesting people I've met along the way. From exploring the rich culture and history to discussing the challenges and joys of immigrating to a new country, this podcast offers a thoughtful and engaging look at life in the Western Balkans. So that's it for this one. Thanks for keeping me company. If you enjoyed the episode, maybe share it with a friend who might like it too. And if you've got thoughts, questions, or just want to say hello, you can always reach out. Also, if you'd like to support the podcast and help me keep telling these stories, you can drop a little tip via Buy Me a Coffee. The link is in the show notes. Even a euro or two makes a big difference. So that's it then. Take care, and I'll catch you in the next episode.